Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. This is the second show in a two-part series about the sinking of El Faro. 33 people were aboard that vessel, and many of them had ties to the First Coast. If you missed the first show, we've got you covered. Just go to our website. I'm joined by Stephanie Brown, a reporter with our sister station, WOKV. She's been covering this story since day one. Now, I noticed in your notes that you gave me prior to the show that the captain had an attorney. Obviously, the captain was lost at sea, as you just said. So did the family hire an attorney for him?
So part of the MBI process, and this is an unusual process, to give a little context, for example, the last time the Coast Guard has convened an MBI was back for Deepwater Horizon. So this is not something that happens frequently, just to, again, emphasize the scale of this investigation. Part of the investigation is the Coast Guard MBI declares certain entities to be what's called parties in interest. Basically, organizations or individuals that they believe can substantially help in the investigation and that also should have the right to question some of the witnesses. So as part of this investigation, the estate of the captain or the widow of the captain was declared a party in interest. So they were represented by an attorney. The other parties in interest here were the American Bureau of Shipping, which was the class society designated to do surveys aboard El Faro, which is basically a form of inspection. We also had Tote Incorporated as the parent company to Tote Services and Tote Maritime Puerto Rico, the owners and operators. And we also had Herbert Engineering. Theirs was not as substantial a role, but they were involved in some of the naval architecture. So they were also declared to be a party in interest. Right after the report was released, I reached out to all of the involved parties because they have been involved, again, in questioning some of the witnesses, in trying to make their cases as the MBI process went on. And so after we heard that the MBI would have declared or recommended a negligence complaint against the captain had he survived, we asked the attorney, Bill Bennett, ultimately if he had any response. And in addition to thanking the Coast Guard for their work and sending his condolences, he actually gave us a statement that says flat out that there are portions of the report that he disagrees with. I'm going to go ahead and read his statement just to give that capture. It says, "We've only had a brief opportunity to review the Coast Guard's report. However, based on this preliminary review, we believe there are serious omissions of critical facts and faulty analysis. Although he was the captain of the El Faro and thus responsible for the safety of the vessel, there are many other key factors that primarily caused the sinking of the vessel, and thus we do not agree with all aspects of the USCG report." To give you an idea of maybe one of the factors that he's referring to, I mentioned that weather routing, navigation at sea, that's the captain's responsibility. We learned during the MBI testimony that in the hours ahead of the sinking, the ship's, one of their weather systems, it's called the Bon Voyage system. Basically, it takes the most recent forecast and track from the National Hurricane Center, and it adds in more data like wind and sea conditions, and then sends a data package out to the ship. We determined here that the captain ultimately has to download the data package, and then he can forward that to the crew if he is not on the bridge, but ultimately he's that trigger point. So we learned through the MBI testimony that in the hours out of the sinking, that Bon Voyage system, through a one-time glitch, actually sent a duplicate track of the storm. So what you had was the prior data package had sent out a track that had other information added on. Well, this next data package accidentally or inexplicably used the same storm track. So that was a potentially critical point in the navigation where the captain was shown a track to the storm that he did not realize had not been updated to reflect the most recent conditions. Now, it is also worth noting that That's only one way that the ship gets weather information. There are several other ways that information was given on the bridge, some of them much more immediate than the Bon Voyage system, because by nature of all of the processing and additions that are done, by the time the data gets to the ship, it's actually already several hours old. But so while the attorney is, you know, looking to that as potentially one of the factors that shows, you know, that there were other factors at play here, ultimately, the MBI made clear what their recommendation was. And I do want to mention the response we got from TOTE as well, because as we mentioned, there was civil penalty action recommended against that, and that's still going to be investigated now by a different branch here. And so the statement that TOTE gave me in response to the investigation, and I'm going to read this in its entirety as well. Mm-hmm. It says, "The El Faro and its crew were lost on our watch, and for this we will be eternally sorry. Nothing we can do will bring back the remarkable crew, but everything we do can work to ensure that those who go to sea, serving us all, are in ever safer environments. The report, which we and so many others whom we would like to thank worked relentlessly on, is another piece of this sacred obligation that everyone who works upon the sea must study and embrace. The report details industry practices which need change. We are committed to working with every stakeholder on these comments and recommendations. We remain focused, as we have from the start, on caring for the families of those we lost and working daily ashore and at sea to safeguard the lives of all mariners." And honestly, I mean, that's another area that we can explore here is the fact that there have already been some changes that have even been made as a result of the ongoing investigation before this report was even issued.
Now, you've talked about civil penalties. What would be the civil penalties? How could they be penalized for this?
The MBI chair didn't have the exact figure in front of him, but he believed that in all the civil penalty action, if it is followed through with, would amount to about $80,000.
Oh.
And it is worth mentioning that all 33 crew families had actually also filed wrongful death lawsuits in federal court against the owners and operators of the vessel prior to this report, actually just prior, I believe, or just after the third hearing session. All 33 had actually settled those. So there are financial obligations not fully disclosed as part of those settlements to each of the families. But when we're talking about just specifically these civil penalties, again, the estimation was roughly $80,000.
And we don't, but as you just said, we don't know how much was dispersed to the families because of what the wrongful death lawsuits that they filed.
Not fully. I believe it was $500,000 in pain and suffering and an undisclosed amount for economic loss. I believe that was, generally speaking, the terms that was agreed to by each of the families.
You've been covering this since day one, and what are the families thinking? Because no amount of money, when I think of putting myself in this situation, no amount of money is worth my mother or my father, right? What are they really thinking and feeling, and what are they doing now?
So not all of the families want to speak, which is completely understandable. There are a few who have been open throughout the whole process, and so we turn to them. The reason I say that is just I don't want to for 1 second characterize the statements of a few of the families that I've spoken with as the statements of them all, because they all obviously deal with this in different ways. The few that we have spoken with, the surprising thing is they're not giving blame at this point. A lot of people may expect them to want to, you know, take down the company, for example, but that's not the case here. Because one family, Pastor Robert Green, who lost his son, LaShawn Rivera, in the sinking, he's been very outspoken through this process. And he put it interestingly by saying there's the obvious human toll that this took. If we're looking from a purely business perspective and even setting aside that human toll, they don't, you know, TOTE or any company that operates ships at sea, they invest in the crew. They invest in these vessels. They don't want to see something like this happen again purely from that business standpoint, let alone the tragic loss of life. So they understand that while there may be some penalty action recommended here and there have been those settlements, they know that the maritime industry is looking at change And that's really what it is right now for them. It's not about blaming. It's about ensuring change. So I spoke with him. I also spoke with the wife of crew member James Porter, who died in the sinking. She also said that they just don't want the loss of life to be in vain. They want their loved one's death to mean something in this industry. So they looked at this Coast Guard report, at how it was explained to them, all of the factors. And the few families that I spoke with were satisfied with the information that was presented with them, with everything that was outlined here. But they absolutely don't see this as an end. As I mentioned, the commandant of the Coast Guard is now going to be reviewing the report, and he will ultimately issue what's called a final action memo, or the recommendations that he concurs with, those that he doesn't concur with, and, you know, maybe ones that he concurs with some caveat. That's what's ultimately going to lead to change. So the families and the parties in interest have 30 days here to submit feedback about the report and anything else they want the commandant to be considering as he weighs that final action. So several of the families that I spoke with say they fully intend to send their thoughts to the commandant. They want to make sure that while he considers the maritime industry change, he's still remembering the human factors and the human toll that this did take. And the NTSB is also releasing their report in December, again, separately from this. Several of the families plan to be there as well. They are just pushing for change. They want to make sure that their loved ones who are still in the maritime industry, still sailing and working on shipping lines, that they are going to be safe in the future.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
Was anything done here in Jacksonville to remember the crew?
Several things in Jacksonville alone. And that's not to say other areas, for example, in the Northeast, as I mentioned, there's a lot of crew that had ties there. In Jacksonville, there are at least two memorials up now that I know of. The first is actually the city put up a memorial at the Dames Point Park. So it's right under the Dames Point Bridge, right up along the water. It's actually a really touching memorial. There's not only a lighthouse, because El Faro means lighthouse, so that's commonly what's used in these memorials. So there's not only a lighthouse with a plaque commemorating the crew, but then there's also 33 stanchions. Each one of them has a plaque in front of it with the crew member's name, as well as potentially a quote if the family submitted something that they wanted to be on the plaque. So you stand there and you see just those 33 markers, one for each of the crew members, just in a long line. And as this report was released on the two-year mark since the sinking, since a lot of families were in town when I went and visited the park on that day, there were also a lot of flowers and pictures, and, you know, people had gone out and taken a moment to reflect on their loved ones that they had lost. That memorial at one end of the 33 markers is a little plaque that says Jacksonville. At the other end is a plaque that says San Juan as well. So it's those 33 markers stretching their shipping route. Over at the Seafarers International Union Hall on the south side, there's also a memorial, which is just inside of the limits of private property. However, generally speaking, you can drive up and see it. It's a large lighthouse that also has a plaque that's commemorating the crew as well. I know the family has actually put together a few different tributes as well. For example, one of the crew families painted anchors. This was kind of how she dealt with mourning. She had wooden anchors made, and she painted them, including writing the name of each of the crew members on them. And she made one for each of the crew families. So each family can have a memorial and tribute to the crew. I've heard that inside of some of the companies, for example, there may be some memorials as well. Those are largely private, so that's not something that we would go into. But if anybody in the public ever wants to go and kind of see the magnitude, it's one thing to hear 33 people, and I'm not saying for one second that 33 markers equates to 33 people. But to see all 33 of them just lined up, and to see the pictures and to read the names, it's powerful, and it helps you understand a little bit more about the scope of this tragedy.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize that there was a Dames Point Park?
Yeah, just under the north side of the bridge. You have to go around, kind of, you keep driving and it feels like you're going into one of the cargo terminals. Mm-hmm. But if you just type in Alfaro Memorial at Dames Point Park in Google, it actually does find it. And it's right on the water. It's really beautiful.
Now, earlier you brought up the fact that changes have already taken place in the maritime industry. What are some of those changes?
So interestingly enough, one of the things the Coast Guard did almost right away is they sent out their traveling inspectors, which are their most senior, most qualified inspectors, to do an increase in inspections on some of the flagged vessels. So to take one quick step back, El Faro and many other commercial vessels are currently inspected under what's called the Alternate Compliance Program. It's voluntary enrollment and basically lets class societies like the American Bureau of Shipping do surveys and inspections on behalf of the Coast Guard instead of having ABS do their class certification and then the Coast Guard have to do their inspections. There's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of duplications. So because of that, the Coast Guard created this ACP program, Alternate Compliance Program, that lets class societies like ABS basically work on their behalf, eliminate some of the duplication, you know, tap into the workforce that these class societies have to oversee these commercial vessels. El Faro and her sister ships were enrolled under ACP. So that's why you'll hear me refer to the American Bureau of Shipping as the surveyor. They played a substantial role in ultimately El Faro's inspection history. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that became clear in the first MBI hearing session is that there are gaps and there are shortfalls in the ACP program. And again, I emphasize, this is still a program that's in use, governing the commercial vessels that are still at sea. So when they saw that there were some potential shortfalls here, they issued these inspectors to say, go especially to our ACP vessels, especially the ones that are older. Give these a good look and let's, you know, get down to it. One of the vessels they inspected was El Faro's sister ship, El Yunque, which was still operating after the sinking on that Jacksonville to Puerto Rico route. They found areas of severe wastage in some places that are difficult to access on a standard inspection or survey. And ultimately, the work that it would have been required to bring that ship up to a place where it could still be sailing, the company decided to scrap it instead because of the amount of work that had to be done in addition to other factors. These were old vessels. So the traveling inspectors, ultimately, the work that they did immediately led to three vessels across what they looked at to be scrapped. And several others were issued no sail orders pending work that had to be done. Mm. So right off the gate, you saw an increase in inspections. The interesting thing is, it also seems like a lot of people who sail were taking notice of what was going on with the hearings. I asked the MBI board chair a little bit more about that, and he said that the traveling inspectors were reporting to him that they would get to some of these vessels and the crew would meet them with a huge container of watertight fixtures that they had changed out because they'd heard about some of the concerns that were aired through the hearing and they wanted to make sure their ship was safe. So it's been triggering some more proactivity amongst even the vessels and crews themselves before the inspectors even have to come back out. And ultimately what we have is a lot of recommendations moving forward. One of the things I did press a little bit more about was the fact that ACP is still in use and the American Bureau of Shipping is still doing surveys. When you mention, you know, El Yunque's wastage, I asked the chair of the MBI if he still felt comfortable with ABS performing surveys, seeing the wastage that had been missed, and if he thought that there should potentially be penalties against ABS as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And he said that there are definitely areas that could be improved. And he also said that the wastage, as an example, is something that he believed to be a failure of the entire regulatory system. They determined that this is something that had likely been degrading for years. So the fact that the Coast Guard never caught it, the crew never caught it, ABS never caught it, it wasn't something that you could isolate to one specific factor. I do want to say ABS did also give me a statement in response to this investigation and this report. Mm-hmm. So reading that in its entirety, they said ABS received the U.S. Coast Guard MBI report and is currently reviewing same. ABS is dedicated to its mission of protecting life, property, and the environment, and is committed to working with the Coast Guard and the U.S. shipping industry in improving safety standards and applying lessons learned. We meet regularly with the U.S. Coast Guard to review the alternate compliance program with the goal of sharing information and continuously improving the program. ABS remains saddened at the loss of the El Faro and its crew and will continue working with the USCG and the maritime industry in an effort to prevent such a catastrophic event from happening again.
So to wrap all of this up, I can't believe it's already been two shows that we've done this and we have so much more that we could talk about. What's next? I know you mentioned a little bit earlier, but what's next?
I do want to briefly touch on a few of the recommendations to give you an idea of where we go from here. Some of the safety recommendations deal with, you know, ship structure. For example, some of the watertight and weathertight openings. We have a recommendation to install new closed-circuit television cameras in cargo holds to hopefully give a better look inside of a ship in the event something like this happens again, so that a captain can understand what's happening in his cargo holds as opposed to having to send a crew member to try to figure it out. They're recommending improvements with the voyage data recorder or black box and the type of data that can capture. They're recommending an increase in training for inspectors and for mariners alike. So it touches on just a broad range. There are more than 30 recommendations issued in all. So with this report specifically, what the Commandant of the Coast Guard will now do, and I'm told there's actually already a working group that's been convened at Coast Guard headquarters that's already reviewing this MBI. They will ultimately put together that final action memo, which is what the Commandant will sign off on. The significant thing here is, unlike what the NTSB will come out with, which I'll talk about in a second, and that's recommendations, while these are recommendations at this stage, the Commandant has control of the Coast Guard and has the ability to direct order change within the Coast Guard itself. So there are recommendations here that could potentially enact into action. There are some other recommendations, if they choose to adopt it, that might take a little more strategic planning. For example, the cooperation of lawmakers or the cooperation of another agency or potentially a budget request. So it's not all something that you can, you know, snap your fingers and try to implement. But it is something that they identify, they prioritize, and they map out to make happen. So there's no set timeline on when the Commandant will issue that final action memo, but it's something that I'll continue to closely follow. And again, simultaneous to this, we do have the NTSB investigation that was also taking place, which again was collaborative and cooperative for a large span of time, especially considering the NTSB is actually the agency that salvaged the ship's black box from more than 15,000 feet down near the Bahamas. And they're the ones that are responsible for transcribing the audio and putting together ultimately that more than 500 page transcript that detailed the final day aboard the ship. So while that was a cooperative investigation for a long period of time, it has since broken off and they've been working independently to issue their own recommendations. And those are going to be made public in December. They're going to have a board meeting in Washington, D.C. I'll be monitoring it here from Jacksonville, and we'll be sure to have a full details recap and ultimately where we go with those as well.
Okay, so sometime in December. So that means that I already have another show planned to air right after that happens.
I mean, it's an important story. Again, not just with the loss of life, but with the impact on the maritime industry. So I'm more than happy to make sure that it's told anytime you need.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming in yet again to talk about yet another big story here on the First Coast. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If you missed any of the two shows, this is such an important topic. The audio in its entirety is already up on our website. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Hot Topics. I've got another new show for you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.